Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Right, let's welcome Pastor Gary as he comes to speak this morning.
I should be on. Are we there? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Can I have a chair up this side, please? One chair. Thank you. Just one chair. Any chance of a chair? Thank you. Right. This is a good morning.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God has set us free.
Amen.
To live in that freedom. To stay in the freedom.
Come on.
I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm holy.
Yes.
And so are you.
Yeah.
Amen. By grace, you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. The call upon our body, we are a holy people.
Amen.
Amen? We are a holy people saved by God by grace. I was reading this morning, I'm going to use down there as our previous life to what's happening up here now, okay? So when I come down there, yeah? Okay, just listen to this. Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me up out of my slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire,
right.
And he set my feet on a rock.
Yes.
Amen. Now you see, I want to imagine you. This is like the largest chasm that you ever see, thousands of miles long, and there is no way that you can get from there to there. By grace we have been saved. His mighty hand has reached down, has
right.
taken hold of us, right. Amen, and he's placed us upon the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. And he gave me, now listen to this, a firm place to stand. You see, when Jesus suffered everything down here, he was that perfect substitute. When he suffered down here for us, took that place of totally receiving everything so that we wouldn't receive it in this place here, he then ascended. He went into, obviously, crucified, ascended from the grave, and now this is the most important thing you've got to grab hold of this morning on one level. He is seated in heaven himself. Amen.
Come on.
It's the rest of faith.
Yes.
He is seated. He's finished it. The work has been completed. We've just got to lay hold of the work that he done down here. Understand what he's done for us, because now you are seated with him. You've been clothed with Christ. You're in him. You're seated with him. You're living in victory in this place. So this place is a place where there's a firm place to stand.
Right.
You see how God sees us? You see, he sees us really, and we are an apostolic people. We are a sent people. We are a prophetic people. That's why it's so important for our lives. A prophetic people live, you know, apply the word to their lives and their lives to the word. Yeah, we live the message that we're not just hearers, but we're doers of the word. Not in our own strength, but now by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, enabling us to work this life full to every area of our lives. Amen. You were bought with a price. Amen. The price was very costly. You are holy. You are accepted. You were bought with the blood of Jesus. This blood is precious. This blood is still speaking. This blood enables you now to sit with him. Enables you now to commune with him. Enables you to receive life from him. This blood has set you free. This blood has set you free. Has set you free. It's the truth. You see, we are seated. There is a spiritual place in heavenly places where we stand. In the spirit. We're not, yes, we have to walk in the world. Yes, we have to be cleaned and cleansed and sanctified and work out that life here. But we're not living from this point of view anymore. I am a new creation. I am no longer in condemnation. I have been freed from that forever and ever. Now here in the grace of God, I stand on the completed work that He's done for us. No more condemnation, no more shame. This is, shame is not our identity. Freedom is our identity. Shame does not exist anymore. Freedom, freedom. This is where it was broken. This is where He did the work. This is where He became a man, funneled Himself down all the glory into who He is. This is how who He is as He's standing. He comes and He takes the punishment and He says, the price has been paid. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. Now you can. Now you can stand whole. Now you can be free. Now you can be free. Now you know that I've done the work for you. It's a work of grace. Amen. It's grace. By grace He has saved us. Mercy treated us in a completely different way than we deserve. Enabled us now to come and sit with Him. You are holy. You are holy. You are set apart for Him. Have you got that now?
Come on.
Have you got that? Have you got that? See, there is a dwelling place, a position in the Spirit that we hold as believers. Now this, you see, what happens is the enemy comes and what he tries to do, and discouragement comes and all the things we get wrapped up in our lives, he tries to bring us back again and to vex us and to cause us to look at ourselves and to feel shame again. But when we turn to Jesus, when we turn and we're forgiven, and when we receive that forgiveness, we've got to remember this, church. God hasn't got a holy thing up there with everything that we've done wrong on it. Because every time we've done something wrong, and every time we came to the Lord, every time that we received the grace and the blood that cleansed us, that has been wiped away. It has been. It has been wiped away. It has, it has. He no longer sees you through a record of wrongs. He sees you through the resurrected work of Jesus Christ. He sees you now seated with Him. He sees you now made holy. He sees you now as His wonderful bride. Pure before His eyes. Now you see what happens is, the enemy, you see, wants to bring deception. He wants to bring us, if he can steal truth away from the believer's life, if he can sort of bring him into a point where he brings him into, you know, is that true, or brings the deceiving thing into him. The enemy wants us to live in the land down here, but we don't live in the land down here. We don't live in the land of compromise. We don't live in this land because it's not our inheritance. Our inheritance is everything that He has won for us in Christ. The power of that blood. The power of that blood day after day after day. He is our faithful high priest. He is our faithful high priest. In heaven He is making intercession for you. Why? Because every time God sees you now, He doesn't see you in the mire and the mud. He sees you now free from shame. He sees you are anointed. He sees you holy. The blood has done its work. The blood is doing its work, and the blood will do its work. Amen. It's true. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You see, if you don't walk in your God-given authority, someone will try and take it and use it against you. Yeah. If we don't walk in our authority, someone will try, the enemy will try, or we'll undermine our own lives and compromise, and he'll try and use it against us. He'll try and undermine that. You see, when Adam held his position of authority, there was no disease or famine or poverty. It was the dominion of heaven on earth. Adam walked in fellowship with God and ruled by God's delegated authority. But when Adam sinned, he lost what God had given him. He yielded in a wrong way. Let's not be deceived. Satan is still playing the same tune. Yeah, he's still trying to play the same tune. But praise God, Satan is a defeated foe. Amen. How do we know this? When Luke 4 verse 5. This is the one. Okay, you can turn there. Luke 4 verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, I will give you their authority and splendor for it's been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. Amen. You see, what was the enemy trying to do with Jesus? The enemy was trying to get him to yield his place of submission, his place of authority to the Father. Yield his life, in a sense, and make a mistake. You know, Jesus never ever did that. Because he never did that, and because Jesus never compromised, we can now live in the freedom of being seated in heavenly places with Christ. It's nice to have a seat up here, actually. A bit tight. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, the message says, I love the message, worship the Lord your God only. Sorry, worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. You see, even King David realized that when we walk in our ways, our focus and our devotion is not fully given to God. Our hearts and our lives can be led astray. That's why he said in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Right. Well, praise God now. Thank you. In the sense, in the new, God has given us a new heart, hasn't
right.
he?
Absolutely.
It's a new heart and he's put his spirit in us.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. You see, whatever has our attention, our devotion, our time, will become our affection. Whatever has our attention, our focus, our time, will become our affection. I'm going to tell you one short, funny story, just very, very shortly. John Hutch, do we love him? Are you here, John? Wave, thank you. Now, I've got permission to tell this because love isn't rude, and I'm not going to embarrass John, right? This is just a small story, just to give it that, just so as an example. Now, John he loves his wife. That's true. It's true. Oh, what was that? Okay, just a bit louder, John. Next time, mate. Just work with me. And, you know, it's... Because, you know, like us husbands, we love our wives. And we, you know, sometimes when we're going to see our wives at the end of the day, you know, we do have holy romantic thoughts. Amen. Amen. That we want to be with them and to enjoy them. In a sense, enjoy each other and love one another. Now, John was in a kind of position where he had a really long day at work and you were having holy romantic thoughts, weren't you? He came home, okay, and he came and he lay down on the settee and he was really tired and he sort of began to sort of fall asleep. And then, you know, that point of when you fall asleep and you kind of wake up again, like semi awake, you know, you're just sort of coming through it. And you're just surfacing, but your eyes haven't opened. All of a sudden, something happened. Is that Sue came into the room and he just heard the words, you're a pretty boy, aren't you? John's like, oh yeah, I am actually. I don't like to say it much, but I am, you know. And you really like it when I stroke you on the head, don't you? And John goes, actually, I do. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, you know. You're a lovely boy, like this. He's a lovely boy. And you know, and John's like, yes, I know. You know, tonight's the night. You know, it's one of those kind of, I know, it's like, you know, he's being overwhelmed with love. To John's amazement, he suddenly twigs. He turns up and he looks to Sue. And there is Sue holding the hamster. What had happened? The hamster was the focus of Sue's affection and love. It wasn't me coming towards John. John expected that. But apparently this little... What's his name, mate? What was his name? Okay. Yeah. Have you forgiven him? Well, I'm not sure what I would have done. I might have sent him down the... posted him to some outer Mongolia and I don't know what I'm doing. RSPCA thing there. I wouldn't have done that. Just checking. Why don't you use it as an illustration? Because sometimes the things that we love sometimes can become, have our attention, and they can become our heart's affection. Now, I'm sure in the message, I'm not communicating to anyone here over the internet now that Sue loves the hamster, okay, more than John. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So don't get the wrong message in that. But it's really just an illustration. How do I know this kind of thing can happen? You see, David realized, do you remember, to his personal cost in his own life, in a time when the kings go out to war, in a time where in a time where God had called him to stand in his position, in his authority as a leader and be out with the troops, where is he? He's in the palace, you know, on the top of the palace, and he's looking out upon Bathsheba, yeah? Someone captivated his heart. Why? Because Bathsheba had his attention and then had his affection. He wasn't in the place where God wanted him to be because he'd kind of delegated that authority. He must have been to someone else or some of his other guys. He was supposed to be at war with them. And what happened? He was at home when the kings go out to war. Yeah? And so in a sense, what happened is the enemy used the situation, or because of the situation of his own heart. When something takes our attention, it takes our focus and our attention away. Slowly but surely, our attention can be away from God. And you know, our focus away from God. Now, and you know, David realized this. You know, again, here comes the word, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. I love people like Joshua. You see, Joshua, you know, possessed. He was the generation that possessed the land, wasn't he? Yeah? Now, God wants us to possess the land of our own lives, first of all. Our mind, our will, our emotions. We are a sanctified people. We are a holy people. We are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. And God, you know, all of those things are true for us. But you see, what was Joshua's demise in certain ways? You know what? Sometimes when we leave a situation unresolved to the Lord, and it could be even a situation of unforgiveness, when we leave that, it's like, you know, I think Joshua's demise was that he didn't deal with some of the enemies in the land. Because he didn't deal with them, what they did is they came back and bit him later. They allowed compromise and false worship to then come into the nation. And that's kind of sometimes, when we don't deal with things in our life, there is provision to deal with them. We have the blood, we have the Holy Spirit. It's a work of grace, it's a work of his cleansing. But when we say no and harden our hearts to God, yeah? In a very similar way, something happened to Samson, and a man anointed by God, a man who had a purpose for his life. At one level, the Lord anointed him to bring devastation to the Philistines. Of course he did. 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. Bet that was a great thing to see, wouldn't it, eh? 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. Rock and roll. That's quite a serious anointing, isn't it? But you see, I'm not reading in between the lines here, but there's something probably that was missing, in a sense, with Samson. I know he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in the New Testament. But, you know, these things are there to show us. I actually think he got a little bit cocky with the anointing. He got a bit blasé about it. There wasn't that devotion, that wasn't that intimacy that he had with God in the same possible way maybe that David had. How do I know that? Well, we read in Judges 16. You can turn to this one, actually. Judges 16. Sometime later, I'll read this one. We'll turn to a passage in a minute. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You see, over a period of time, Delilah became the center of his universe. Delilah almost like had his, begin to have his attention, and then at some point had his affection. He fell in love. He fell in love with something else. I've just come back from, over the Easter holiday, came back from, was it Easter? No, when was it? What holiday did we have? It was Easter, wasn't it? Yeah, where are we? Come back from the holiday, and up in Scarborough, there's houses there now, you know, that are right on the cliff edge. And what's happened is the waves have actually come in. And each wave that's come in is starting to take out the underlying cliff. Because it wasn't, there's not rock there. It's just kind of this sub, you know, soil and the waters. And when we passed it, there's houses. There's literally houses that are right on the edge of a cliff edge now. And all of these houses that have to be demolished. Because it's unsafe for them to be, unsafe to live there. How interesting, you see, when compromise happens in our lives, we don't necessarily notice the first wave. Because it's subtle. It takes our attention. It you know, something that we get into, or something that happens in our lives, and it just starts that process of erosion, and then before long. Now you see what's starting to happen. We're going to read now Judges 16, verse 16 to 21. I'm just going to just again show this as to emphasize a point. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep in her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of hair. And so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Matt, can I just borrow a chair a minute, mate? Another one there. Rachel, do you want to come and sit here? I'll sit on the chair. Just for this illustration, right? In a sense, you know, what was happening to Samson, his focus was not upon God, yeah? It wasn't upon who the Lord is. But now his focus and attention, and therefore his affection, was now, you know, now I'm going to use Delilah as Rachel, okay? Because I'm going to do something, in a sense, and I'm going to, you know, illustrate it. Rachel is not Delilah, thank you, Jesus, all right? And I do know who my wife's name was. I just got a bit confused at the start when we were praying. All right, so it's all right. So, in a sense, what did Samson see? Samson starts to, and we've got to see this as, you know, in also prophetically for the body of Christ in this nation. It is time to take our heads out of the land of compromise. To take our heads out of, in a sense, Delilah's lap. Why? Because the enemy in this place, you see, that, you know, okay, I'm going to do it now. I'm getting embarrassed, Rachel. You can stroke my head. It's all right.
My eyes. It's all right. Rachel just said my eyes then. That's got something to do with SpongeBob SquarePants. And there's something to do with the film, having a bald head. But that's okay. I forgive her. oh, hallelujah. Now, you see what happened is, you see, the compromise of Samson in Delilah's lap. You see, in this place, you see, he wasn't walking in his authority. He wasn't in any place. And it's there that the enemy began to subdue him and take his power. You can go now, yeah. Yeah? You see, I am holy. The call upon this church
for every one of us. God's favourite subject is holiness. Yeah? Through a holy people, through a people that are consecrated and set apart for Him, He wants to touch the nations of the planet. Yeah. No longer, you know, you see, now I know in a sense what happened to Samson at the end, you know, I mean, he stood between the two pillars, but that's God's grace. That He allowed the anointing to be used, even when He'd stuffed up His whole, you know, the whole situation. But you see, we don't now, as the Church of the Living God and as the Bride of Christ, need to live in a place where we compromise stuff for the gospel. Live in this place of compromise. Why? Because the truth is, because God wants us to be in this place, in a place of purity, in a place of holiness. Amen? Seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to share just very briefly now. There's a situation in my own family. I know time is racking at this moment. A situation in my own family. I won't share this over the internet. Let's just say it's a close relative, and I won't go further than that. As a young man, I was subjected to areas in my life that where pornography and all of that kind of stuff, and it was like I saw images, I saw stuff that I shouldn't do. And what happened is, you see, the enemy's plan for me was to take me out. The enemy's plan was to keep me down in the mud and mire, to keep me in this place of actually being subject to that bondage in an area of my life. But you see, Jesus had another plan. And His plan was to take me from this pit out here and then to stand before everyone in heaven and say, "This is a trophy of my grace. You are a trophy of God's grace. You are a trophy of His accomplished work, His victorious work. And forevermore in heaven." I think the angels, in a sense, some don't understand, but we will understand because we have had to make use of the power of that blood. We've had to lay hold of the power of that blood to cleanse us. We know what it's like to walk in frailty. Jesus is our faithful high priest. He knows what it's like to walk in frailty. Yet He didn't mess it up in any way. He is the victorious one. And now God in His wisdom through the eons of time says, "I'm going to choose you, Gary. You know, before the creation of the world, my hand is going to be upon you. All that you've been in, all that the enemy has tried to do and take your life, I'm going to break the power of sin. I'm going to separate that bondage from you. I'm going to make you holy and acceptable in my sight. And I'm actually going to take the rise out of the enemy for a bit. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you be in a position of leading worship." Amen. You see, that's His grace. Something where I could not break out of that. That's His grace to say, "This is my child. He that has begun a good work in me will carry it on to completion. He that has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion."
Yes.
But that's His grace.
Yes, yes.
And you see, now I still have to walk this. I have to keep that area of my life squeaky clean. Why? Because I know the depth that I came out of. I know how much the soul, I know how much a darkness and abandonment there. But now I am a new creation. Now I am no longer in condemnation. Now, here for the grace of God I stand. All because of what Jesus has done, not because of what I've done. Amen? Every strategy of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. Every purpose that God has in our lives. But every temptation is an attempt to get us to live our lives independently of God, to walk in the flesh. Have you ever noticed that the tempter soon turns into the accuser? Shame and guilt. Yeah. The attempt, the one who brings temptation then turns, you know, tempts you in it. It's always like to bring you back down into the mud and to the mire. And then he says, "You know, you miserable Christian, you know, who do you think you are standing up there? I am a new creation now in Jesus." Amen. I can be forgiven forevermore. I can be, you know, the blood is available for me. I'm not going to use the blood in the wrong way. I'm not going to keep sinning that grace may abound, but I'm going to lay hold of that. I'm going to live in a new way. Why? Because the Spirit says I can. Because God says I can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm no longer now in bondage to this place of all of that stuff that's almost like wrecked, you know, every area of my soul of depravity. But when God comes in and he fills us with light, he cleansed me, he made me whole, he made me a son, acceptable forever in his sight. Yes, yes, yes. He's made you a man or woman of God, acceptable in his sight. But it's important that we stay clean. It's important. What I'm going to do now is just share a little bit of the technical stuff. It's going to be for a few minutes. And I, you know, obviously I have shared at the men's conference because I had to be a lot more open in there. And for the areas of vulnerability, obviously I'm having to be wise because of the internet. Psalm 139 says, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." Is that true? God says it. It's true. Now, he's designed us and made us, created us in his image. Now, the most fantastic thing is, you see, and this is for us, you see, God, we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. Now, each of us, yeah, I'm not walking down here now in the sense of we were something, but now God has made us a child of God. Now we are, in a sense, vessels. What does it say? We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of the presence of God. What an awesome thing. What a responsibility. God, in his manifold wisdom and grace, decided at a point of time that he was going to... He knew that we couldn't live this stuff out here in our own strength. He knew that we couldn't achieve anything in our own anything, not by might nor by power, but by as we receive that Holy Spirit, and if we receive them into our lives, we can then begin living every day as a new creation in Christ. Now, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm aware, you see, you know what Pastor Clive did in the context of the when we prayed out there. In the airwaves, you see, there's stuff coming at people. There's stuff on our televisions. And even, I think, certainly for this generation, more than any other generation, you have the possibility of having a computer screen and you can have a closed door. And no one can know what you're doing. No one can know what's happening. You see, all of those things are, that it's the spirit of the age. It's the world trying to entice people back to get them into a pit of despair. But this morning, I've got good news for everyone. Amen. God has set me free. God wants to set us free today. Male and female. Yeah? Now, I praise God. You know what I mean? Our brains are the most amazing organs that have been made. But what does God say in his word? Romans 12, let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let the word of God wash our minds. It's awesome. Billions of brain cells that make up the hardware. How we think, though, is a bit like, think about a computer. You've got a computer there, it's kind of like the hardware. But a computer can't work unless the software's right. The software. Yeah? Now, it's our responsibility, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is praiseworthy, to load the right software into the computer. The software is Jesus. The software is the truth. You know, the belt of truth around us. The software is everything that we allow. You see, we've got to be really honest about this. Who has responsibility for your minds? We do. You have responsibility. God hasn't given it to anybody else. You have spiritual responsibility to feed upon the word, to allow his truth to come in, to change, to break bondages, to bring about. Let the illumination of his light fill our minds. Let it break stuff off, wrong thinking, changing the way that we think to think in God's way. But that software, in a sense. Now, this is just... this is just a little bit of the practical side, because I know, in a sense, just have a bit of understanding. The brain and the spinal cord make up the central nervous system, which branches off into the peripheral nervous system. The peripheral nervous system has two channels, somatic and autonomic. Say somatic. Autonomic. The somatic nervous system regulates our muscular and skeletal movements, such as speech, gestures, over which we have volitional control. The somatic nervous system correlates to the will. I'm using my will now. I'm choosing to walk. Yeah, I'm choosing. Our autonomic nervous system regulates our glands. We have no volitional control over our glands. We don't say to our heart, beat, 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 beat. Well, maybe some of you do. You're not there every day going beep, 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 beep. We don't say to, you know, our adrenal glands, you know, adrenal, or our thyroid, thigh. There's something about the fearfully and wonderfully made. There's something about the way that we've been made up. And they function automatically. Now, sex glands are part of the autonomic nervous system. I've said the word now, so it's okay, all right? Glands, yeah. Yes, in a sense, we submit our mind, our will, and emotions to the Lord. We submit every area to the Lord. Yes, it's by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. But there's a part of us that we're actually fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, if we have no control of our sex glands, then how can God expect us to have any sexual self-control? The good news is we don't have to have volitional control over sex glands in order to have control. We need to take control of what we think. Our sex glands are not the cause of sexual immorality. It's me glands. It's not your glands. It's what you've been watching on telly. It's what you've been sticking on your computer. Now, we've got in our house, we've got an Uber filter system that just is, if a gnat coughs, you know, the filter comes in, you know what I mean, it comes up. You know, if there's a bit of an attitude with a gnat, here comes the filter. Praise God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, because the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, we pull down. We choose to take every thought captive. We choose. We choose. Yeah? Now, they will naturally function in their God-given way. However, if we load up our brain with pornography, our autonomic nervous system will simply respond. We have no control over what comes out, but we have control over what we put in. Just as in a computer, garbage in, garbage out. This is the reality of what's facing. I couldn't believe it the other day. I've been boring my kids senseless for the past year looking at garden sheds. Right, and I've been on the internet looking for garden sheds for my telescope for months and months, as long as I get the right one. I've been, you know, the dad was on his sheds, you know. And I couldn't believe, right in the middle of sheds, looking up on the Google search, comes sex and all the whole load of stuff. What is that doing there? What's it doing on a Google search? It's because the spirit of this age is actually trying to compromise in any way it can, get us to fall in a place where the enemy wants us down here, but God wants us to stay up here. Yes. Amen. You see, it's absolutely amazing. We can choose the movies which we see, the magazines which we read. Now, at one level, we can't isolate ourselves from the filth that's in this world. Are you okay just to stay for a bit? Because we're just a little bit longer. You're right, just for that. Now, just listen to this. Psalm 12, verse 8. Pastor Clive, for months and months, is, you know, that whole word of devotion. But also, we've got a complaint. There's a complaint on the inside of me. And the complaint is, the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. We are going to see a transformation in this nation. Amen. Amen. God is going to have a holy body that's going to see a transformation. Because when God is dishonoured in the sense in his word in the nation, when it got that process of dishonour happens, you see what happens is something else comes in to fill that honour. And what's coming to fill that honour is vileness. Yeah? It's just cheap out there at the moment to laugh and to ridicule and sexual innuendo. It's a spirit of the age. It's not to be in the body. Why? Because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've been made holy and I'm supposed to be sitting here. God doesn't want the vileness, yeah? Because it steals our joy. Any sin separates us from God. It separates us from that communion, that place of love and acceptance. You know, have you ever wondered? You know, in a sense, you know, I can say this because I have, and not because I'm living in that, you know, at this present. Have you ever wondered why you see something on television, then you come into, you know, in a sense that you shouldn't, you come into worship, and the first thing you see is the image that you saw. God isn't playing with us, church. He's not playing with us, and, you know, we dip in and dip out and think. You know, I had a situation happened in my life where I actually ended up hurting myself in a situation. And God had to do something in my life to burn away something in an area of my life. My God shall supply all my need according to his glorious riches in Christ. For me, the area God burnt away was the whole area where I was using food to fill a vacuum that only God could fill. He that has begun a good work will carry it on to completion. Amen. But you see, you've got responsibility to possess the land of your life. God hasn't given it to anybody else. But he does that and he helps us by the Holy Spirit. You see, Christians may have to work in an atmosphere where saturated with pin-ups or with other sexually explicit material. Or businessmen may need to attend luncheon appointments where, you know, there's alcohol in it served in the wrong way. What we see in the world comes through the gateway of our eyes. We could stop the flow by closing our eyes, but even then our imaginations could run wild. If we look at some object of temptation, the signal will be recorded in our brains. At that moment, we have a choice. If we choose to let our mind dwell on it, there will be an immediate physiological response because the peripheral nervous system is fed by the central nervous system. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to remember some things and yet so easy to recall others? If you saw an image, it seemed to stay in my mind for years. What's that? It's part of the answer is physical. When we are sexually stimulated, a signal is sent to our glands which secrete hormones into the bloodstream. The more emotionally excited we are, the greater the release of the hormones. They pass through the brain and lock in whatever visual or audio stimulus is present at the time of the emotional excitement. What does that really mean? It means that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. When I look upon Rachel, there's a holy love. Amen? It's not a lust, but a holy love. And so in a sense, there's a right excitement, you know, in a sense, because there's a purity, but because it's a covenant marriage relationship with God, isn't it? And yet, how amazing it is when we actually open ourselves up to wrong stuff, what happens is our hormones are like this. They're like, they just operate. They're like, hey, I'm off, yeah. And what they do is they lock the picture into our minds. Well, in Jesus' name this morning, every locked picture, every bondage this morning is broken in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Yeah. Today is a time of change. Church, we are a holy people. Yeah. We are not to live anymore down here. The call upon Kingdom Faith is to see revival in the nations. To see revival. How do you think we're going to see it if we can't live the life of the Spirit in ourselves? We're a prophetic people, an example in a righteous way. Not that we're proud in our own sense, but Christ in us is revealed through us. Amen. Okay. People can become emotionally excited and sexually stimulated by just entertaining thoughts of sexual activity. That is why people will have an emotional rush before there is any physical contact. The man going to the store where pornography is sold will be sexually stimulated long before he sees the magazines. The thinking has caused the rush. It starts with his thoughts, which triggered his nervous system, which responded by secreting hormones into his blood system. Why? Just because of the choice. Yeah. Just because of that choice. Now, today, if you know in your life, you can have the band up, guys, cheers. Today, if you know in your life that this whole world behind closed doors where there's computers, I'm not just talking to the men, I'm talking to all of us, yeah? And the only way that I can live this life is why? Because I'm living by the grace of God in the reality of this myself. I have no authority to speak this unless I'm living it. Yeah. Now, God doesn't want anybody here to be under in any shame whatsoever. Any false guilt. But when we do stuff, you see, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? You see, those hands, you see, those from Jesus' own pierced hands, the blood cleanses our hands. From the thorns on upon his head, those actual thorns, you know, crushed into his skull over the mind, cleansed our mind. But that those thorns, the blood ran into his eyes. I can just see it, the stinging of that blood. You see, his blood covered every area of our lives. And the power of that blood breaks every single bondage. Yeah. Now today, if you know, okay, now I'm not talking about, so even things like violent films, what we fill ourselves if we're going to be full of. What we fill ourselves of, we're going to be full of. If there's violence that we've entered into our soul and we know it's wrong, yeah, this is a time. If we know that there's a sense that we've got focused on a wrong relationship or we've gone away from God, this is a time that God actually wants to, this morning. I know if people need to go, you need to be free to go, okay? But if you know that God's speaking to you, please, please, please do the business with God. Why? Because his love is so great for us. He doesn't want us living here. Because the land of shame, there's no freedom. The land of shame and compromise. There's no freedom. He wants us to be cleansed, to be made whole, because he loves us, so we can walk in our authority and we can live in that freedom. Amen. Yeah. So in any way that, you know, in a sense, we're just going to open this up at the front. Now, if people need prayer, all the guys that know that need to pray, Janet's included in that with Jonathan as well, you know, the guys that need to pray, I've went through something, okay? I've gone through something in my own life, and the first person I went to see is, you know, I mean, it was Pastor Les up in Lamplu, and I just said, Pastor Les, I bring this area before you. You know, I bring it out into the light. Yeah, I don't need to live in this any longer, to live in freedom. But at this altar here, if you need just that fresh consecration, Lord, you know, how do I know this? Because I think there's a fantastic passage, just very briefly. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to force anything to happen today. There's no judgment. I've stood in this place, but God doesn't want you to live here. He wants you to be free because he loves you. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? We're just going to begin to worship, and if you feel the need, if you feel that you need to respond, break the fear of man, and just come and just lay your lives before the altar of God. And as we just worship, first of all, Lord, I thank you for every person. Just lift your hands to him. If you need to come to the front, just come to the front. There's no. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Shedono mongo prasarai Siana mandoro mosoro baba Kiandara mando soro 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 Shiara mande si 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 Right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just say to you, Lord God, Father, if I have fallen short of your glory, fallen short of your love, fallen short, Father, I ask your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness this morning. I thank you that you are faithful and true. And Lord, I bring every area, a consecration to you in my life. I bring every area before you. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, I thank you for that forgiveness. I thank you for that cleansing. I thank you, Lord, that you set me free today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What I'm going to do is, some of the guys here, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. As we worship now, Sue, can you pray? Guys, can you just go and pray with these guys? Okay. Now, as people get prayed for this morning, and you know that you need to be prayed for, things are going to break off of people's lives. That bondage is going to be broken forever. Amen. No more shame. No more guilt. We don't live in the land down here. We're going to live as who we are in Christ, as new creations. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your life, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We break every aspect of shame in the name of Jesus right now. And in this church right now, what I want us to do, let's corporately do this. We're going to take authority over an unclean spirit right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. If you need to go, just be free to go. Yeah. If you need to pick your kids up, just pick your kids up. Just have freedom. Yeah. If you need to say, like today, Lord, I've been living in the land of compromise. I want to put this right in my life now. Just do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, right now, under the sound of my voice, I come against every spirit of every unclean spirit, and I say, I break your power off of this church. I break it. I break it. Right now, every unclean thing is broken. Is broken now in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now, spirit of the age, get out of our church, get out of our lives. You are not going to come and steal in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.